All right, we're going to start with a couple questions. Have you ever wondered, why me? Why me? Why do I live in this house? Why can't I have a nicer house? On the way to church, there's this beautiful house. It sits back by these behind this pond. It's huge. It's gorgeous. And when they were building it a long time ago, and I told Brother Steve, why don't you build me a house like that? Nevertheless, I like our house a lot. But have you ever thought, why do I have these parents? I have the strictest parents in the whole church. And they all said, amen. See, you all think that. You all think yours is the strictest. Why do I have these siblings? Amen. And they all said, amen. Yes. Right. Why am I so skinny? Why can't I lose weight? How come I'm so short? How come I'm so tall? How come I can't speak up?
Amen.
Why can't I be quiet?
Amen. Amen.
Why is my hair straight? Why isn't it curly? Yeah, sisters. Funny one about that. There's a sister that used to come to camp meeting, and I knew her from our teen years. And she was just a tiny little thing in our teen years, and she's still a tiny little thing. Amen. And I'm like, okay, babies and children have done wonders to my figure, and I'm like, why can't I be skinny like her? And so one day I was talking to her, and I just mentioned and complimented her. And I thought, man, you know, I wish I could be thin like you. And she said, I wish I could have hair like you. Why are we all looking at other people and going, you know, why me? Why can't I be? It was a real good lesson in being a little more content. Why are my feet big? Why are they little? Why me? Why can't I find a boyfriend, girlfriend? Everybody has one. Why me? Why don't I have more money? And in more serious things. You know, why did this terrible thing happen to me? Why me? If you've never thought, why me? Hold on, it's coming. But I think we all have thought that. Did you know that you live in this time, in this place, with this family, with those siblings, with those big feet, with that skinny, tall, short, whatever your figure is? God made you specific for a reason. For such a time as this. That is the title of my lesson. For such a time as this. So what story do you think I'm going to? For such a time as this. No guesses? Brother Steve.
Esther.
Very good. You've heard this before. All right, so let's talk about Esther.
I read it before.
Oh, you read it. Oh, perfect. All right, very good. I would say, out of all the people in the Bible that could say, why me, Esther's right there in that group. Let's look at her story. Brother Jacob, you have a question?
I was going to say Jonah.
Ah, all right. So let's look at Esther. Esther was an orphan at a very young age, brought up by her cousin Mordecai. She lived in Persia. All right, so if you remember the Revelation lessons, Persia was a world power right after Babylon. So we have the Babylonians and we have the Medes and the Persians. So the time this story takes place, Persia is a world power. That'll help you understand what happens in her life. Now Cyrus, he would have been not very long before this took place. He had allowed the Jews to return back to Jerusalem if they want to. It was dangerous, a lot of turmoil going on. And so not all the Jews returned home. And for some reason, Esther's family did not return to Jerusalem. They stayed in Persia. So they're under Babylon. They had been slaves under Babylonian rule, and they were allowed to go home if they wanted to. Now in Persia, Jews were treated with suspicion, treated fairly badly. What's going on today, if you're following the news, is nothing new. There's been a lot of anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish attitudes for thousands of years, and that you would have seen that here as well. So what about the neighbors, people that she lived with, people in Persia? They worshipped idols. Very few worshiped the true God. That would be the few Jews that had stayed there. And a lot of those Jews had assimilated. That's a really big word that means they decided to get along, to go along, to get along. I'm not going to be too different. Yeah, I'm going to be more quiet about my worship. I'm going to compromise here so it makes life a little bit easier. So this is the atmosphere that Esther was growing up in for such a time as this. Now let's talk about King Ahasuerus. He is a major character in this story, or he's also known as Xerxes. So he was the son of Darius. Remember, Darius and Cyrus were the ones that diverted what river? What was the river they diverted from Babylon? Starts with an E. The Euphrates River. So he's the famous, one of the famous kings that brought about Babylon's downfall. So this, he was the father of King Ahasuerus. Now, King Ahasuerus was a very violent man. He had a terrible temper. He drained Persia's treasury through his failed military campaigns. So let's learn a little bit about his character. So there was this storm that destroyed this bridge that was over a river. This is during one of his military campaigns. It was over the Hellespont River, which is a narrow passage between the Aegean Sea and the Sea of Marmara. So when this bridge was taken out during the storm, he was so angry he had all the builders beheaded. And then he had his soldiers go out and whip the sea with 30 lashes because he believed that there were gods in the sea. His fury and his anger, you see, is coming out here. During this military campaign, or one of the military campaigns, there was a man by the name of Pythias who had 5 sons, and all of them were in the army. And so he went to King Ahasuerus, and he asked if at least his eldest son could be dismissed from military duty so that he could take care of his aged father. And he offered an enormous sum of money to help with the military campaign if King Ahasuerus would do this. And that kind of seems like a merciful request. 5 sons, could I just have one of them back to take care of me? King Ahasuerus says no. In fact, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill your son, I'm going to cut him in 2 pieces, and I'm going to have the army march right between those 2 pieces. A horrible man. Yes, violent, savage. He loved excess. He liked to drink. He liked his women. He liked to spend money. Husband material, sisters? No. No, 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 no. All right, so he gets angry at his wife. He has this big banquet, 180 days, I believe. He's drunk. He wants her to come. She says, no, I'm not going to do it. You're drunk. He says, forget it. I'm going to divorce you. Then he begins to regret it, or maybe he just wants to move on. We don't know. So he's persuaded to look for a new queen. Is this story starting to ring a bell with anybody? All right. All the fair young virgins, we're going to have them come, and I'm going to pick a queen. Now, if you've watched one too many Disney movies, you might think, oh, it's a beauty contest, and the winner's going to be the queen, and all the other ladies go home. It's a fairy tale. She's going to be a princess. It was nothing like that. If you were one of the fair young maidens rounded up to come to this contest, you never went home. You were there forever. You didn't get to see your family. You didn't get to interact with them. You now lived in the palace. The king may or may not decide to come see you. You may never see him. You might just be living with all the other concubines, approximately 360 of them. So you have those siblings you're having trouble getting along with, sisters. Imagine living with 360 women. And that's it. You can't go shopping. You can't go see. You can't take a visit to your family. Pretty rough. So we have the story of Esther is what we're talking about. Her name was Hadassah. She's called Esther. Esther would be more her Persian name, Hadassah. She's beautiful. Now, tradition says, not the Bible, but tradition says that Mordecai, when he heard what was going on, tried to hide her. He didn't consider this a good fit for his lovely young God-loving cousin, but she was found. So whether she was hiding or not, we don't know, but she was brought to the king's house, chapter 2, verse 7. Do you think she might have thought, why me? Why me? She's going to have to leave her beloved cousin. This is like a father to her. She cannot. In fact, Mordecai told her, you need to hide your heritage. You cannot let it known that you are a Jew. You need to keep that hidden. So there's no worship of the true God. There's no interaction with her loved ones. She's going to have to go to the palace and live with a bunch of women. Doubt any of those were Jews. Doubt any of those had that godly upbringing that she had. I say she probably said, why me? Why me? Now, another important person in this story is Haman. Now Haman hated the Jews, and he had been made second in the kingdom. So the king, you know, Haman, I think it'd be a great idea that you just have, we're going to have all the people bow to you. When you're walking through the gate, city gate, all the people need to bow to you. Of course, Haman liked that idea, but there was one man who wouldn't do it. Who was that? Anybody know? Mordecai. He's like, no, I'm not bowing down. I'm not going to bow down, more like a worship thing. Not like if you're going to go to England and see the king that you would curtsy or something. This is more of a worship thing. And so Haman says, you know what? It's time to destroy all the Jews. You know, I didn't like him anyway, and I'm really angry now. So Haman goes to the king. King, I think we should issue a decree. Chapter 3, verse 13. Here's the decree. And the king is like, yes. To destroy, kill, and cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. And so this decree was made. Now the king had chosen Esther. She's a secret Jew. King doesn't know it. Haman doesn't know it. I doubt all of her friends there and all the other concubines probably didn't know it either. But of all the women that came before the king, Esther found favor in the king's sight. Esther was the one he chose. Just happenstance? You think it just happened that way? Does God just happen? Do things just happen with God? All right, let's keep going. Verse 17 of chapter 2 says, the king loved Esther above all the women. Now, before Esther was ever born, God, in his great wisdom, looked down through time and knew what Haman was going to do. He knew what was going to happen. He knew this decree was coming. This was a serious threat to God's people. He wanted to wipe all of them out. More serious than we realize. Because if you read scriptures, and let me give you an example, in Numbers 24 and 17, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. This is a prophecy or a promise that God makes. A star shall come forth from the descendants of Jacob. A scepter, that means ruler or king, shall rise out of the descendants of Israel. Who is that scripture talking about? Who's this star? Who's this ruler? Who's this king that's coming? Who are they talking about? Jesus. And he's going to be born out of what lineage? What was the names I just gave you? Jacob and Israel. If Haman were successful and wiped out all of the Jews, could a Messiah come from that lineage? Then God would be made to be a liar. The devil had a plan. I'm going to wipe them all out. And then all these prophecies that God has made, they're not going to take place. But see, God's been around longer than the devil, and God's smarter than the devil, and God knew the devil's plan. And so God began to put pieces in place way ahead of time. You know that Esther? She was brought up in a godly home. She knows the true God. She's one of the few people here in Susa, in Persia, that knows the true God. And I can use her. So I'm going to make her really beautiful. Sisters, did you ever think, I wish God would have made me really beautiful? But for some reason, he knew she needed to be really beautiful. She needed to be brought up in this home. He had a plan because he was going to thwart the enemy's plan. God works in spite of man's plans. He puts just the right people in the right place. God put the right people in the right place at the right time to show that he answers prayers that have not yet been prayed. Let me say that again. Before you ever pray a prayer, before you ever even know you have a need, God is putting people in the right place at the right time. I might digress for just a moment. Many, many years ago, maybe 20 plus years ago, I was at church one Sunday morning and a dear sister came up to me and she said, God has laid you on my heart. All week I have been praying for you. And I thought, okay, that's really sweet. But there was no major trials going on in my life. There was no afflictions. 20 years ago, I was a lot younger and I had a lot more energy. Within a week, I entered into the darkest trial that I think I can ever remember in my life. Hard, terrible trial. And in the middle of that trial, I heard God say, I cared so much about you, I had somebody start praying for you a week or longer before it even happened. God puts the right people in the right place to answer prayers that have not even been prayed yet. And that's what happened here with Esther. God's putting people in the right place. No doubt she probably thought, why me? Why me? Maybe it'd been better if I'd have been ugly. Maybe they wouldn't have picked me. But God knew. King probably wouldn't have found favor with a maiden that was ugly. So she had to be extra beautiful. It was God's will, no doubt, that Vashti was removed as queen, so that there was a place for Esther to fill. God allowed all that, or he used it. It was God's will that Esther's family not return to Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Maybe the neighbors, y'all, we can finally go home. We've been wanting to do this for so long. We've been in captivity. We can go to our home place. And Esther's family said, you know, I just don't think we're going to do that. That was God's will. And maybe, we don't know, but maybe Esther's parents wouldn't have done the job bringing her up that they needed to do. Maybe they were those Jews that were assimilating or becoming like everybody else. And so when they passed away, God used it to place her in the home of Mordecai because he knew Mordecai would raise her like he should. Esther 4 and 14, that's our text. For such a time as this. This cruel king had agreed with Haman to exterminate all the Jews. Now, if you know anything about the laws and the Medes and the Persians, once they've been written, they cannot be changed. What Bible story reminds us of that? Daniel in the lion's den. Once the king realized he had been tricked, he knew the laws of the Medes and Persians. And so this edict or this law had been made and could not be changed. And yet God prepared Esther for this time. Again, maybe Esther thought, why is this happening to me? Has God forgotten about me? Why can't I marry somebody else? Did we think he was a catch, sisters? When I told you all about King Ahasuerus, I think we should run the other way. How could I save the Jews? When she realized what was happening, how can I be the one to save the Jews? She probably had a lot of why me questions. Remember our why me questions we started with? Why is this happening to me? Why do I have different parents? Why are my parents so odd? I think my children said that a few times. They like us now, so it gets better. Serious, why did somebody that I really cared about have to die? Why did hardships have to happen to me and my family? Why did we have to go through times and we didn't have money? We had great losses. Why didn't God prevent this from happening? You know, God is using all those circumstances to mold us and prepare us and get us ready for something down the road. Prayers we've not even prayed yet. He's getting us ready right now. Maybe you're too talkative, too quiet, too tall, too short, too skinny, too fat, too heavy. Maybe fat's not the right word. Too heavy. Too beautiful, not beautiful enough. All these characteristics. Great singer, not so great singer. Great artist, can't draw anything. These are all characteristics that make you uniquely you. You are the only person that can do exactly what God has called you to do. Think about some people that were prepared for such a time as this. See, the time you're in is right now. Let's think about maybe a little bit further back. Fanny Crosby, do you think she would have written more than 9,000 hymns if she had not been blind? We don't know. But there's a good chance she might not have. Did you know that Beethoven wrote composed many beautiful pieces of music. Do you know what began to happen to him at the age of 26? He began to go deaf. I would say for a music composer, that's got to be devastating. At 26, that's not very old. However, he began to write what is called conversation books. and he used those to communicate with his friends. And he began to explain much about his music, and he began to explain how his music should be played. And today it is said that without his deafness, those books would have never been written, and much of that knowledge would have never been shared. And that's not maybe a spiritual, but we can see how good came out of a tragedy. I say going deaf at 26 is like a tragedy. Remember, we had the story of Gladys Aylward, the missionary to China, the little woman. And do you remember a couple of things about her features that really frustrated her? Does anybody remember that? What color was her hair? Anybody remember? It was black. And she wanted it to be blonde. And she was very short, 4'10". And she wanted to be tall. But when she arrived in China, she realized her appearance was exactly what it needed to be to work with the Chinese. She could pass as a Chinese. She had dark eyes, dark hair. She had small feet. Do you remember she became a foot inspector? Which sounds kind of funny. But if you understand the history, the women would bind the feet of the female children because they considered it beautiful to have this very small, actually somewhat deformed foot. And so the ruler, they made changes. Those feet were not to be bound, but tradition dies hard. And so Gladys Aylward was put in charge. She was called the foot inspector, and she would travel to the villages, and she would explain to the women, show them how important it was. They were now commanded not to bind those feet. And it was said that if Gladys had had great big size 9 feet like mine, the women in that village would have looked at her feet and said, "Ew, we don't want feet like that." And they wouldn't have heard her when she was explaining to them the dangers. Because if you'll study it, when they bound those feet, the feet became deformed. And then the women would have a lot of trouble walking on them in years later. So it was a huge health problem as well. And so she learned that her little small feet with her small stature was just what God needed in that missionary calling to China. And so all those years she was saying, "Why me? Black hair. Why me? So short. Like, I'm 5'4", so she'd be, you know, I don't know, somewhere in there. Why me? Dark eyes." God knew. He made her just who she needed to be. Divine providence. That's a big phrase. So divine means something from God, and providence means preparing something ahead of time. God's preparing a lot of things ahead of time. Think again about Esther's preparations. Her family decided to stay. 50 years earlier, her whole family could have went home and she wouldn't have even been there. God says, "No, I'm going to persuade them to stay because I know what's happening down the road." Esther was brought up in a godly home. Esther was found and chosen. I'm reviewing here. The king loved her. She had courage and faith in God. And God used her to save an entire nation and prove the devil to be a liar as he was endeavoring to wipe out or to prove the devil to be wrong. So the divine purpose for your life includes the place you live, your house, your parents, your siblings, your characteristics, your strengths, and your weaknesses. That is preparing you for that call, for what God has for your life. Instead of "why me," let's trust God. God knows what he's doing. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding." Lord, I'd love to be skinny. I'd love to have blonde hair and blue eyes and, you know, all those things that run through your mind. You brethren probably have a different list. Lean not to your own understanding. God made you exactly how you are for a purpose. Don't look for a way out. I think about many, many years ago, actually taught a similar part of this lesson 10 years ago. So we've been youth leaders for just a few years. And when I brought that lesson, I said to the youth group at that time, "Who knew I'd be a youth leader today?" God did. God did. And 4 years before we became youth leaders, God put us in the Sunday school class of the 17 and 18-year-olds. He was helping us get ready. He was preparing us I'll never forget because I taught the baby class, 1, 2, and 3, for 19 plus years. And that was comfortable there. They loved me. I loved them. It was pretty simple. But God began to move on my heart. It was time to do something else. I didn't quite understand that, but God made it plain. And I remember the first Sunday in Sunday school. I've told you this before. And I looked out, and there's these 17-year-old kids and 18-year-old kids, and they're not smiling, and they're not waving like the 3-year-olds did, and they're not jumping up in their seats. Some of them were sleeping. Some of them were writing notes. Some of them were, I'm not sure. And I told Brother Steve, I'm going back to the baby class. And he said, you just hold steady. And today I wouldn't go back to that baby class for anything. I love working with you guys. You're just, it's like God has prepared us. And now that we're where we're supposed to be, we love it. And we can look back and we can see, yes. So instead of asking why me, ask what's next. All right, Lord, this is how I am. This is how you made me with my unique qualities. What's next? How does this make me uniquely qualified? In 1987, I lost my father. He was, I believe, 42 years old. And my mom still had 5 children home. And I said, why me? Quite a few times. And I still don't know why. But I remember years later, probably the very first person I prayed with at the altar that was not my child had just lost her dad. And when I prayed with her, she said, you understand. And I thought, well, yeah, I do. You're right. It made me uniquely qualified to reach out to her. No, I'm not saying that God took my dad away so that I could help that one person. Often it's much more complex than that. But instead of saying, why me, Lord? Why didn't you heal dad? Why? Say, what's next? What are you wanting me to take this difficult, devastating circumstance, and how do you want me to use that? Where does God want to use us? We had a whole series of lessons this past summer during camp meeting about the call. And you had a large variety of people bring their life stories and told you about their call. God was preparing them. No doubt many of them shared with you how God prepared them. And so instead of saying, why do I have to be like this? Why do I have to look like this? Why can't I learn to keep my mouth shut? And I mean, we can work on that. But your personality, or why can't I ever speak up? God's going to use that personality, those traits, for his work. I think the lesson in Esther is so good. For such a time as this. You were born in this century, most of you. I think a few of you were born in the previous. For this time, in this location, or you've moved to this location, because here's where God's got a work for you to do. Maybe in time, maybe you'll be moving on. God knows. And so, one more time, instead of why me, God, what's next? Appreciate your good attention. I'll turn it back over to our chairperson.